I'm gonna do the thing. 8. Okay.
Nice.
Does that help? Would that help if we did that?
No, I mean, sure, it does. It's usually been pretty easy to figure out lining up. That hasn't been too bad.
Okay, I suppose that's true. But, oh boy. Mm-hmm. How are you doing, Patrick?
I'm doing pretty good. Been a nice, relaxing day. Got a bunch of stuff done. Still have some other stuff to get done. And we're kind of just rolling with that. So, yeah, got most of that last episode edited and just kind of waiting on Kyle's feedback.
Nice. I also should give it a listen. I should, you know, just to participate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I was actually listening to Dungeons and Daddies and noticed that they were slightly panned. So each, instead of everyone just being in the center pan, they were kind of, you know, someone was off to the left a little bit, someone was off to the right. So I wanted to play around with that a little bit and see if it was something that I liked. And surround, I think it works. Sound. Yeah. So the pros and cons of that are, so if you are someone who listens to a podcast, you know, out and about and you just have one earphone in, then there's a chance that you will only get, you know, like one of our voices like a lot louder than the other. Mm-hmm. So that's the downside. But if you're in the car, it works out pretty well. And our fun little a book, everyone has a podcast except for you.
Classic.
Warned against panning like that. So I was just kind of interested because I did notice it in a podcast, my most listened to podcast of the year, should I add?
Yes.
And so I was just like, oh, Spotify. And just maybe to kind of like see how that went. And, you know, didn't sound bad. So I just want to see how other people think about it.
I will give it a test ride. And I mean, that sounds pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm usually just listening to them, not with headphones, to be honest. I usually just listen to things in the car, you know?
Yeah.
But
that's my number one spot to listen to podcasts. Yes. That or, you know, when I'm out on a run or doing a, you know, working out or something, then I'll listen to podcasts as well. I'm the weirdo in the gym who is listening to NPR, not death metal or hype music.
I'm definitely listening to death metal or hype music, but NPR must be a much calmer approach to things, because I'm also listening to the death metal while I'm driving.
I don't listen to nothing but podcasts, so I do have my fair share of music in there.
That's valid. But all right, I'm gonna segue this. Speaking of drives, we went on a little adventure a little while ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
We went to it's always hilarious that like this episode is going to be about El Dorado when we've already done an episode, which cracks me up.
I love that. It's, you know, what goes around comes around, I guess.
All that glitters can be gold.
Yes.
But that was quite a long drive for me. Do you love taking a long car ride?
Oh, I definitely do. I really love it.
Have to drive a lot to get to those AM shifts, though.
Mm-hmm. Woof. Oh, yeah.
I don't know how you do it, especially in the weather. But anyway, a long drive can be, like, something you have to craft a plan for, right?
Yep, you got to get your playlist set up just right.
Yes.
Have the right, you know, podcast episodes queued up if that's what you're going, so.
Mm-hmm. The queue, just the right notifications on the Waze app. You know, got my beverages, my extra vape batteries, just in case. But this, unfortunately, it's like, you know, winter now. It is getting colder and the leaves are barren, and hopefully we get more snow. Because nature.
Yeah.
And it is not.
It's concerning at this rate.
It is, yes, very alarming. But yeah, you know, cold weather, lol. It was beautiful when we went up to El Dorado. El Dorado Springs, right? I don't know geography very well.
Yes, so it was El Dorado Springs, which is, for all of you who don't live in Colorado or are not familiar with the geography of Colorado, it's basically just a little bit south of Boulder, and it leads up into El Dorado Springs, El Dorado Canyon, which is a state park, beautiful area. And it's very easily accessible and wonderful, wonderful place. And that's what we're talking about.
It was just autumn and fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Yep. First week of October, it was potentially going to be cold, but ended up not being cold.
I mean, it was pretty chilly in the shade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was.
You knew winter was around the corner, but it was still just, it was just a beautiful day. Mm-hmm. Which, what a day to experience. You played there the weekend before we visited for the Open Studios.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So what was going on was the first two weekends of October were Open Studio weekends. Mm-hmm. And so I was asked to play, and so I ended up playing the Saturday and Sunday of the first weekend. And that was like a scene out of a movie. Like, I was not sure what to expect. It was just like, oh, you want to play here? And I was like, hell yeah, I'll play. Yeah, that sounds cool. And Dona, who is the photographer, a wonderful person, mm-hmm. who asked me to play, and I'd played at a few of her galleries over the summer in Boulder, told me, oh, you should come up and check out the space beforehand. And I was like, perfect. It's like a 20-minute drive, if that, from my house. So sounds like a plan. And she showed me where I was going to be playing. And, like, just pulling into that area, like, A, you're just kind of nestled into the mountains. B, beautiful. There's sculptures and art just everywhere.
Amazing.
And so where I set up to play was in the, basically, the sculpture garden. And it was just so cool, surreal, and, like, beautiful to just play there. And the next 2 days ended up being really nice weather, like, lots of good sun. It was warm because in October, you never know if it's going to be, you know, snow, 80 degrees or just kind of cold in general. But we lucked out for sure. And it was really, really nice, which doesn't always happen. And so what happened after that was I was able to play. And just like I remember playing there and I could look up and then there was like someone painting over there and while I performed, and then someone painting over there while I performed, and it just didn't seem real. It was also, I figured I wanted to bring some kind of thing to sell for merch because I'd gotten some feedback that I just didn't have anything that said Morning Honey at my previous shows, so I figured I'd try and change that. And so it was the test run for on. yes exactly. And self-marketing is the thing I'm absolutely the worst at. Very easy. And so basically, like, I just gave making pickles and selling coffee a shot, and I sold out of pickles. That was the test run. That was the test market. And now I think that's going to be a huge part of my Morning Honey identity, I suppose.
Yes.
But yeah, and then the weekend after, you came up and got to see another band play, and it was, you know, I loved it. It was just...
That was fucking amazing. Sometimes I go through the videos and I'm like, what a day.
Mm-hmm.
To...
And it was...
Yeah.
Go for it. No.
No, just to experience it. Oh my God. Experience things like that at a place like that during weather like that is just like, how can you not have just like the best feeling about something and want and get revved up about the things you're experiencing there?
Mm-hmm.
Because... like, bitch, it's an open studio. I fucking love that shit. I want to go over there. And I'm just, like, excited to look at art. And then, like, suddenly it's, like, this golden hour fever dream. And it's amazing. Like,
you know, I think it's... And it was just kind of almost like a testament to some of the things that we had talked about prior as well. mm-hmm. about how just kind of community and, you know, creating next to or, you know, within the vicinity of others can really just basically like snowball inspiration.
Yes.
And, you know, one person creating something can inspire someone else to create something. And then just being a part of a community that just creates and builds really just can let you run with it. And it just creates more and more. And it fosters new creativity. And essentially, like, we can all trace back everything. Like, the first time that we did something, we can most times kind of point to a general area or, like, someone in particular and be like, this is kind of the thing that started making me want to do music or, mm-hmm. you know, art in some aspect. And then we can even kind of zoom in and look at, like, this piece, like, oh, I was having trouble with this, and then I heard this, or I experienced this, and then it became easier to finish it. Or with a certain song or, like, a piece, you can kind of look at a certain point and be like, oh, this was, like, directly inspired by this. And a lot of times it's from just our experiences in the world and also other people's creations. So to be able to, you know, create art and just be surrounded by other people creating art is, like you said, a fever dream. Mm-hmm. So seeing all of this going on, and then like it was really fun to have, like, watch you, like, nerd out in, like, a studio and ask all these questions and be like, this is so cool. And so it's just, it's super fulfilling, and I love to see that. And, you know, not everyone really gets that experience as an artist, and mm-mm. not everyone gets to see that, you know, behind the curtain, which is unfortunate. But, and I wish that we could have more of that and kind of more of an appreciation. I know that certain schools and classes really do their best to try and, you know, nurture and provide essentially an appreciation for the arts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's another thing that I kind of wanted to get into in this episode, is just kind of reflect on, honestly, like, all of the profound things that we've had people say mm-hmm. when we get to talk to them. Like, for that one in particular, Alex, when she was on, when she, something that's really stuck with me is, since she's going into music teaching and stuff, and that her goal was, you know, she's not trying to create and tutor the next Bach or Mozart or anything, mm-hmm. but she does want to create a bunch of music appreciators. And I think that's such a humble and, like, wonderful way to go about arts education. Mm. And I think that sometimes I can get lost in any type of education as well. And especially when you're trying to educate something or educate someone on, you know, a subject that you're passionate about, or you, you know, feel like you maybe missed the bus on or something. So one thing that I see is that, and I've definitely been guilty of this too, is just kind of, like, trying to talk about something and almost, like, forcing it down, you know, your throat about it, kind of like, oh, let's learn about this, 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 this. And it's like, that's not always the best approach, and it's not fruitful mm-hmm. if you kind of get someone to just glaze over. And so I think it's, you know, beneficial to an extent to have the opportunity to see these open studios, see behind the veil. And that's one of the good things about social media, just to tie literally everything we talk about together in with this.
No,
is
seriously.
That it's, you know, seeing behind the veil is very helpful, and I nerd out about it, but not everyone does. So
I'm a freak about that shit. I was lucky enough to experience participating in an open studio event when I was in school, you know, in my arts program. And it was like wandering around, going into my professor's studios and, like, my other classmates' studios, and talking to everyone from every department, and having visitors, like, other art appreciators, other just random people, like, just this influence of people experiencing not the, like, all of our art in its, like, most vulnerable form, potentially, unless, like, you really clean the shit up, you know, out of your studio, because otherwise you see, you know, all the works in progress, sometimes, like, you know, the trash and the dirty paintbrushes and the rags and the, I went wild. I saw, I keep thinking about just seeing just paintbrush, like, just jars of, like, filthy paintbrushes. And I'm like, that's art, baby. Like, beautiful art in itself, but seeing all the players of the game.
Yes.
Really rocks. that's why I like just taking pictures of studios and stuff, because I don't know, it makes the art feel more real than seeing it just like flat, you know. I don't know. You know,
it really adds a lot to have a little bit of a backstory, even if you don't have maybe the emotional backstory to the extent of like what the story's telling, but you can also see this other story of the story of creating that art kind of through seeing a studio. And you can kind of see that.
Bitch.
Mm-hmm. And I think you can see that with like music. If you walk into like a recording studio and you see like cables fucking everywhere, you know, it's art and creation is kind of a messy process, ultimately.
Yeah, this shit gets, my hands are stained from dyeing my brother's hair even. Like, art happens in some ways. I always appreciate, just the dirt and grime of an art studio. I mean, obviously these studios were beautifully well kept and stuff, so I'm not like, oh my God, like, you know, all the stress and everything. Though, if I ever did this again in my current studio or future studio or whatever, because I'm going to pursue this, like, the sense of community around it that brings it in of like, just different people all together. Do you know what it's community?
Yes. Yeah.
That's always what it is. But just leaving the trash everywhere. Like, who? What makes a person? Empty, empty Doritos bags, empty Starbucks cups. But
yeah, and I think that that's something that also we can kind of tie in for like the last couple episodes where we've kind of been reminiscing about, you know, where did we come from? Where did we start kind of thing? And I think that, you know, it kind of ties into a potential like with almost like shame to an extent where you just, you know, your workspace, like my workspace is like never clean and it's always like kind of messy to an extent. There's cables everywhere. There's like, oh, I'll leave like this thing over here. Like I still have like the mic stand set up from recording last episode. I just haven't moved them. And the thing is like when you have like an open studio event like that, you have the potential to just have that vulnerability. And I think that it kind of adds to it that you kind of see, you know, even if you don't like, you know, make it up really nice, like you're talking about, and you kind of leave stuff around it. For me, it kind of showcases the, you know, behind the scenes a little more, like very authentically. And it's also just kind of coming to the fact that and the realization that it's okay. Like, we're all kind of like that. We're not perfect, clean. Like, we mess up. We, you know, get our hands dirty. And that's the journey. That's part of it. And so, like, yeah, like, especially, like, talking to about things with, like, Cameron, where he was saying, like, oh, I love looking at sketchbooks, even though they're, like, ideas that you throw away and they're things that you're not proud of necessarily all the time. It still shows, like, the progression. And that's one thing that I really love is watching a progression. I've brought this up all the time, but, like, it's it's just so fulfilling. And, you know, being able to see my own progression has helped me through breakups, helped me through moving on to new projects, helped me appreciate my own work and everything. So I think that I will again reiterate, like, being able to kind of track your progress and be able to look at it and appreciate that every now and then is huge. And I think that being able to see other people's progress is also very inspiring. So seeing everyone's workspace and everyone's, you know, oh, they, you know, here's like a half finished piece. Like, I love that. I love that.
Yes. This is things in action. This isn't the final stop. This is the drive. Again, a long drive. Beautiful setup. Just I'm getting very distracted. Yeah. I'm getting hype again about it. It's just so interesting, you know, because it's literally like people live their lives here and they make things here, like art. And especially when you see like, oh, this is like so-and-so fancy art studio and you're like, yeah, that shit, that's the real shit too.
Yeah, I like that idea, the comparison of like the drive there, where you know, being able to see the open studio before it gets all cleaned up for people to walk in, like, that's showing the drive, like a quick snapshot of the drive. That's basically like the you know, if you, the journey, the pictures you take along the way driving up the mountain,
yes,
or driving into the mountains in this case.
That's perfect. Yeah. It's, I don't want to cling to the past again, yes, in the idea of progression. Although I do quite often, but it's again, respecting the, progress, you know, mm-hmm, things are allowed to be, partway there, a stop on the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, again, even like stretching all the way back to, Sara's episode, like she kind of shared about how she was starting to feel a little bit of pressure from her followers, her viewers and everything about not posting enough content. And I've, you know, heard similar kind of concerns and stresses from other people who, or like secondhand and stuff, like, oh yeah, my friend is TikTok famous. And then people are just like, why aren't you posting stuff more frequently? And it's just like, there's no schedule, especially with that thing, mm-hmm, with social media. It's difficult and it's easy to apply that pressure to yourself. But if it's ultimately just stressing you out, it's not adding to your life and it's taking away from your life. And, you know, it's not always super realistic to expect it to always add to your life. There's going to be times when it's stressful. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the tough thing. But I think it's also good to let things sit unfinished for a time. Like, mm-hmm, I think that this is actually something that you and I can kind of talk about a little bit, because you were explaining how your painting, it sometimes doesn't work out that way, because sometimes the, you know, the colors that you created and everything and mixed up are hard to replicate if that paint dries out. Whereas me, I can leave a song in my voice memos, like half finished, or like a recording on Logic, like half finished, and come back to it next year when I'm just like, I forgot about this thing.
Yeah.
So
it doesn't have a, shelf lifespan, mm-hmm, only, you know, the way that technology does, of course, yes, which is also, interesting in the the way you can like digitally edit something is you can save 100 iterations and like, mm-hmm, I just have to keep painting over the same thing in order to achieve, yeah, the different variations, the progress.
Yeah. And that's, one thing that I think is always interesting to kind of compare and contrast our two art forms and stuff as well, is so like I have a song, which to an extent is kind of abstract. Mm-hmm. Whereas like the chords, the lyrics, the melody can kind of exist ultimately like in my head. And then I don't have to, you know, put it on a CD. I don't have to record it and put it on Spotify for it to exist, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then I can play it and it can change with each iteration. And even if I do record it, that song still exists outside of that recording. And so I think that's like something that's kind of funky and doesn't always translate exactly to other art mediums. Like, for instance, mm-hmm, like you have that painting there and that's the only one. Like, you could replicate it, but it still wouldn't be the same kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And you have I think the best way to compare it is you have the idea and the image of that painting and what it's supposed to be, what it will be, what it has been in your head. And that's kind of the closest comparison I can think of to me having a song, where it's in that kind of abstract. Because, mm-hmm, like, my song can always take on new iterations. I can, you know, mix it in a medley with other songs. I can adjust the melody, and it's, like, forever evolving. And that's kind of how it always goes for me. Like, that's the cool thing about live shows, is you're not always going to get what you hear on Spotify. You're not going to get what you hear on that CD. There's going to be times when I mess up. There's going to be times when you go to Red Rocks and you see Death Cab for Cutie kind of mess up on the start of their show, start of their song. And then they're just like, oh, let's try that again. And then you're just like, we're all just people and we mess up.
Damn. Oh, fuck. I had such a good thought and it's so gone. But, yeah, we fuck up, you know, and, mm-hmm, everyone does. But I love that you have little rogue editions of your song just in and out there, living in your heart.
Oh, absolutely. There's always, you know, I can always like add a flourish on like a vocal run or add like a weird little like guitar piece or just fuck it up entirely and forget the words. That's a pretty standard Patty G special. Yeah, that's a remix like that. Or, you know, like in, I think that sometimes it can be really hard to just embrace those things. Like, especially for me performing is like if I approach like a difficult part in a song or something that I don't always get right, even when I'm practicing, is I will get pretty nervous and freak out and be like, people aren't going to think I'm actually like good or talented at this. And because I missed this note or I messed that part up or I forgot these lyrics. And then there's like an aspect where there's certain situations where I'm totally comfortable and just being like, half of the reason they came here was to watch me fuck up because I make it funny and I just kind of roll with it. Like, that was one of the big things about when I had the basement recordings, or not basement recordings, but the basement shows in high school, was I was really into hard rock and pushing my vocal limits. And so I would really push it up there and you'd always get like a nice little Patrick squeak and people would go to my shows to hear that. And it wasn't a concert for a while unless I pulled one of those. So
the iconic Patty Melt squeak.
Yeah, it's
boy,
you know, it's facing failure and stress in art is difficult. And I think that, you know, getting to work in a community can kind of alleviate some of that because you get to work with other people and you get to see them, you know, mess up. You get to see them be inspired by things that you do and you be inspired by things that they do. So, you know, and we're kind of trying to line up the next few guests revolving around this idea of building an artistic, creative community. Mm-hmm. So kind of leaning into that community idea is, you know, I appreciate it. And, you know, starting this podcast has kind of helped create a little bit of a community and I'm really grateful for it. And it's changed my ability to inspire myself essentially by letting other people inspire me. So what's your favorite moment that you've had or something that's kind of like driven you more from, you know, kind of either your favorite community moment or from just people we've gotten to talk to with the podcast?
Well, just because the stars aligned when we went to El Dorado, I have to say that was my favorite podcast related adjacent endeavor, because we went there for quote research. And then it was just beautiful. And it's just been really good to know that we all like have interest, have our all like our hearts are in the same place for a lot of us, and we all seek your shirt is very appropriate for this to drink coffee and do good and make art.
Yes.
Yeah, that's that's it. Once again, sorry, this is a tangent. Just fucking sad that one day it'll inspire me enough to move on into things that haunt me. But in the meantime, I love like expanding the circle, because, you know, I always was saying how I like I fell out of the internet, right? And like a lot of like the people in my community vanished and I was like alone there for a long time. And now I'm like, oh, there's artists and people and like musicians, like people making things all around me all the time. Let's chat about it.
Yeah. It never sleeps, and it's
art never exciting. Sleeps. I feel like I've been like referencing this thing, like the whole time, because it's just become such a, it has set the bar and set a goal to achieve this feeling at some point, perhaps, maybe.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah. To reference another episode, it's set an apple moment.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And so I think it's, I think that's also like a very exciting, you know, way to look at it too, because it's getting involved with like other people too, is getting to, you know, I want, like, however you start like an artist commune, like I'm kind of interested in like how those crop up and come to be, because
we start a cult.
There we go. No.
Lore squad.
Mm-hmm.
No, because, I mean, like-minded people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, like, with that idea of community and just living with other people who create things, like, mm-hmm. some of the most...
Art house.
Yeah, art house enriching kind of things were, you know, in college when you have to shove a whole bunch of people in one house so you can afford to live at all. And then so many, like, wonderful things come from it. And
yeah, those were... Mm-hmm. Sometimes the best places, at least, like,
yeah, stressful and depressing, but that's kind of what creates a lot of art.
Yeah
I mean, because it's with mm-hmm. that kind of experiences, like you're thrown into this point in your life where you have to figure out what you're gonna do for the rest of your life, and you're putting in a lot of work, a lot of money, yes. to be able to do something for the rest of your life and get a piece of paper that says pay this person to do this for the rest of their life kind of thing. And then you'll go through the regular modes of, is this what I want to do for the rest of my life? Am I good enough to do this? Imposter syndrome sits in. You also are having such close relations and stressful times, and people to relate with are right there next to you. You usually live within walking distance, which is pretty unique for most Americans, I believe. Walkable communities is not very common, and I hate that. I wish it was more common, because I want to just be able to like walk or bike to work, and we'll get there one day, but today's not that day.
City bitches so. Be like
yeah,
but listen, we got roads to deal with, and it mm-hmm. is not, it does suck, because it's like I talked about the there's people around us at like the places that we go to, but getting there sometimes is the hard thing. If like mm-hmm. everything I needed was literally a block away, like, you know, the bodega under the apartment, like, and work down the block sort of
mm-hmm.
ideal. That's what city bitches be like. Well, I guess you gotta still travel. Anyway, this might not be good radio, but I want to segue into something about like doing things for the rest of your life, and then mm-hmm. like also life ending, like, because you don't achieve certain thing by certain time, like, and yeah. all this other stuff, which part of what made this like little experience so nice to me is that, so we're watching this band play, and you know, everything's going great, and all these like all these fucking, I'll call them boomers, like, they all mm-hmm. get up and they all start like dancing around and having a great time, and I'm like, my life's not over when I'm 27, you know, like mm-hmm. We will continue to appreciate like each other and music and art and make art. Mm-hmm. Like these people that were in these studios were all like older than us, making like yep. fabulous things in a beautiful setting in like gorgeous ass El Dorado Springs. Freaking, I mean, and heavy snow must be not super fun, but amazing.
Yeah.
Things can work out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice to see people essentially like living your dream in the future kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Or like, and I think that sometimes it's very easy for us to pin an age of like, oh, well, my parents had kids when they were 26, so what am I doing with my life? Mm-hmm. But then that kind of thing is, it's not, the times are different. They're always changing. And our situation now is different from our parents. It's different from their parents kind of thing. It's so easy to compare yourself to other people that it's really hard to, you know, forgive yourself and actually be comfortable and okay with yourself and where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
And that sucks. But that's, you know, part of the struggle of existing. is mm-hmm. It's really not a race. There's no deadline. There's no timeline. Sometimes it's nice when you have deadlines and timelines to give you an extra nudge of motivation, but they're not mm-hmm. always necessary. Like, you don't need to create your masterpiece by 24. You don't need to, you know, become famous and die by 27. Like, that's not there's not a blueprint. There's not a genuine, there's not like a certified path.
No.
That you have to take.
Everyone rides a different horse.
Yes.
You know? And those horses will take you places.
Mm-hmm.
For some commentary. But listen, I keep getting distracted because I'm thinking about this whole getting older and time pass situation. Mm-hmm. Because it occurs to me how fleeting things can be, but also how long-lived feelings can be as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like maintaining your gusto like throughout the years and stuff, because like the human brain develops fully at like 25 or something. Is that correct?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
allegedly,
we are locked in, and mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I feel that I'm like, I am a learned adult with goals of being able to make art and dance around, listen to music, and maybe run a cafe in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like pipe dreams yeah. we were talking about earlier. I'm like being alive and having fun and yes. making coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, I don't necessarily feel super locked in, but I feel like I've reached over a hump where I'm more solidified in my values and more solidified in the little things that I like to do and want to do.
Yes.
And maybe that's part of my brain developing and being solidified and locked in. Maybe it's not. I think that, you know, like you said, having pipe dreams and everything is, some people can view that as unrealistic. But I think that if you don't have something to reach for, then that kind of makes it hard to move forward sometimes. But you don't always have to have a goal. You don't have to have a dream. And just like we were talking about last episode, it's totally cool to just hang out in the present moment. And that's something that a lot of us forget to do.
Mm-hmm. me doing nothing, sitting, listening to music, just contemplating life.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I'm just going to get a segue sideways deep. Do you ever let yourself be alone with your thoughts, Patrick?
Like all the time, yes.
Yeah.
I definitely struggle with if I have difficult like self thoughts or anything, or dealing with failure. I definitely turn inward a lot more often than I probably should, because I view it as, this is my problem. I can't, you know, worry other people with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the best way to go about it, because no matter what your head tells you, like, your friends care about you, your family cares about you. And even if you did something, you know, embarrassing or not up to par for what you expect from yourself, that doesn't mean that those people are going to leave from your life. They're still going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I struggle with that because I convince myself otherwise.
Oh.
So.
Oh, Patty.
Yeah.
That's so fucking sad. Cause sorry. You can go ahead, but
no, go for it.
Oh God, there I go again. I've just been very, very deep in my those moments that I'm talking about. Like, I just got this new CD that I've been listening to, and just like deep dark contemplation, and like the acceptance of those feelings and the reality of their existence is something to consider. We're allowed mm-hmm. to be sad about that, and I think it's okay to like fucking be a little bummed out and be like, you know,
yeah,
poor little me sometimes. Like, it's like we can pity ourselves. I shouldn't say pity, because that's such a sad word to use, but like
it's okay to be sad. Yeah. Like, it's okay to be bummed out. It's okay to have an existential crisis. Mm-hmm. Like,
not trying to reflect on such a trophy golden hour in at least this, my personal recent week is a little, it's good to reflect on your feelings and like let yourself have them, I think, while
yes.
understanding that these are bad feelings and these can hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
But they are things that you can experience if you, I shouldn't say want to, because sometimes it's, you have no choice. But
yeah, you can.
You can move on.
Yeah, at some point. And you can control how you react.
That's true. The reaction to the thing is really, I guess, what it is. Because I just, I just puff mine into plumes, as it were. While other, there's healthy ways of dealing it, like journaling or like making art or doing things, but I don't know where I'm going with this. I've just been having a time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. Yeah, it's easy to get stuck in those things. And I think that, like, me coming to peace with those feelings and stuff, I owe a lot of it to meditating, which mm-hmm. I go in and out of doing regularly. But I think the best way that I've heard it described was, oh boy, let me see if I can remember his name. Duncan Trussell. So Duncan Trussell, he did a guided meditation once that I forget who he had on his podcast, but I just adore his description of meditating. And I think it was the best way that you could put it, kind of in like layman's terms almost. Mm. And so the way that he did it was all in like a guided meditation where he, you know, got you started with like the deep breaths.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, just imagine that you're sitting at the edge of a lake out in the mountains, and then there's like the trees and stuff. So this is kind of, you know, this is beginning the metaphor to meditation. So from here, if you were to like, you know, stand up and run around and move and stuff, and so like that's you thinking and like actively thinking and worrying and not just like mm-hmm. letting your mind act. So imagine your mind is like the wilderness there, and then you are sitting there at the edge of that lake. If you start making a bunch of commotion, you're not going to see any animals. You're just going to see the lake. But then as you kind of sit and you're patient with yourself and you're quiet, that's you just kind of sitting there, letting your mind be open and clear. Then you'll start seeing like the deer come out from the trees and stuff. And you'll also see all of those, like, you know, maybe you'll see a bear or a moose, or you'll see like a weird little like velociraptor kind of thing come out, and you're like, what the fuck is that?
That's your spirit guide, bitch.
And, that, and you know, you can't sit here and run away from those weird little velociraptor monsters. They're still going to be there whether you run from them or not. And so it's coming to the fact that you can look at it and appreciate it just like you would any other kind of animal out in nature. Like, it's exciting to see a moose. It's exciting to see a bear. It's scary to see a bear, but it's exciting to say that you saw a bear,
mm-hmm.
right? And so being able to sit there with a clear mind and kind of see what kind of creatures you have in your mind, essentially, to continue with that metaphor, and it's just be aware of what's there. And then it's the next step is kind of accepting that and coming to peace, because I feel like one of the biggest things, and I did this for the longest time, was I don't deserve to be sad. I don't deserve to be mad. Like, this is, my life is too easy to, you know, worry about these things. And then coming to meditation is getting to the point to kind of just know yourself, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, straight meditation, solo, guided, or unguided is helpful. And I'd argue that you can even, you know, have meditative practices by playing guitar, painting.
Mm-hmm.
Going on a hike, you know, just kind of spending time with yourself and getting comfortable with yourself is so important. And again, like, that's one thing that I just adored, that I might find the YouTube link to that guided meditation to drop in the show notes, just because, like, I really loved that guided meditation, and I think everyone should give it a shot.
Yeah, I think that's a... I just think it's a really cute use of visual imagery. I guess it's the same word for meditating, of like letting your mind quiet and letting, like, finding beauty in the in nature is very cute.
Yeah, because it's super important to just, like, let those feelings come and then just note that thought. Like, oh, like, I'm thinking about this. And then kind of let it go. And then the next thing will come in. You know, it's just, like, you'll sit there and your mind is clear. And then all of a sudden your brain is like, hey, buddy, you suck. And I'm like, oh, that was kind of mean, but you're there.
Damn it, Velociraptor.
And then you let it go. And then all of a sudden you have, like, I should check on my pickles. Noted. That kind of thing. And you just let, because your mind's going to go to different places whether you want it to or not. And so it's just kind of coming to terms with that. And again, it's helping you realize that it's the reaction that you do have control over. You don't always have control over your emotions. And I think that the idea of wrangling and trying to control your emotions is relatively toxic, because it's the same as, like, you're sitting there trying to cure anxiety. You're never going to cure anxiety. You're going to develop a relationship with it.
That's that's some truth. I'm going to think on that one for a while. Because it's like, yeah, these things that, like, upset you or, like, make you feel, like, terrible can continue. You just develop a relationship with them, and it's up to you to decide, like, how you react, like, in these times, which is difficult to learn for some, I'm sure, but, like, you gotta respect, play your... Patrick, I'm really, really sorry.
You're good.
You keep saying that, but I'm, like, getting worse and worse. I don't know what's going on with me. I'm just phasing out. Yeah, how do we tie this all in? I don't know where we're at. We could do this.
We're on the idea of, like, meditation and just kind of building a relationship with anxiety and our thoughts, as opposed to, like, curing them.
It's like your fears will continue, but your life will go on somehow. Like, and you will, you know, you will make a playlist and take a long drive and maybe end up somewhere beautiful and have a fucking awesome time with doing, like, I don't know. You might feel alive again, and that could be nice.
Yeah, sometimes it's, I know one thing that I used to do when I was really, and I still kind of do it every now and then when I'm feeling super stressed or upset with myself or extra depressed, is just kind of, I am a strong advocate for listening to albums front to back.
Yes.
And there's certain albums that are just borderline almost like healing to me, and just kind of help me extract feelings sometimes. And so sometimes I'll just put on, like, an album or so, or sometimes it's the podcast musical 36 questions, one of the two, but, and just go, because I can sit there and relate to the characters, I can sit there and relate to the music, and I can, it can just extract feeling from me. I can, like, scream along if I want to. I can just kind of enjoy the view. Because when I do these drives, it's always, I'm driving to Estes. I'm driving up around Allentown and Aspen Park and Nederland and everything. So it's a beautiful drive no matter when I do it. And the biggest, like, thing that holds these together is just the music and what I experience, and just kind of let myself let these things out. And I let the music and the drive and just the experience of going through those motions kind of, like, pull everything from me. It's almost like cleansing to an extent.
Yes.
And that's, I feel like, is a really good metaphor kind of to tie it all back into what we were talking about in the first place, was when you're creating art, it's kind of like driving. It's taking that drive to somewhere. So for writing a song, for me, sometimes it's that drive is just cleansing. So writing a song is just extracting whatever confused emotion is I'm experiencing. And then it just kind of comes out, and it's not necessarily always untangled, but it's there, and then it's out in the world, and I've expressed it and released it somehow. So it's the drive for me.
It's the drive for me too. Mm-hmm. Not really the destination.
Yes.
Unless it's a really good coffee shop.
Yeah, fair. Can always come together over some good coffee. Spent the last year trying to mend the way you left me lying wide-eyed in my bed. And you came back again. Maybe it's just in my head. All these things are left unsaid. That's
like, okay.
That's a good one.
Well, because here, I just want to like complain about like everything that's, I'm so distracted by everything that's going, like my life is mayhem right now. And I just didn't want to like take it all out on the podcast, but I was like going to so many times. I'm sorry, Patrick, this was a rough one for me.
Hey, not every day is going to be up there. You're still on my mind. Wonder if I'm ever going to fall. That's what I wanted.
Perfectionism TM is really that shit hurt bro. I don't know, you were talking about albums, and literally like one of the things that's got me all like wrapped up right now is the past. Sorry. Do you mind if I just
Do you want me to stop recording and all, or
I'm always like, oh my god, is it good radio? I don't know, but no, I just got an album in the mail. So that's pretty much it. It was a letter from a friend, and thinking about the time pass of things and whether or not things are like worthwhile in the past or in the present or in the future or like whatever. A CD they got for me for my birthday years ago kept, and we recently got back in touch, and they sent to me, and it has been breaking my heart, or making it like grow a bunch. I don't know, the fucking way that an album that you used to love can only do to you.
Yeah.
Sent by people who you care about, like what a journey. Anyway, I listened to the first song like 4 times on repeat before I went on to the other ones, because it just hit so hard. Because it's like, you get low, but you can't fall apart when it rains, and you have to forgive yourself sometimes. I wrote those down in my journal. That's it.